The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Down went one of the Sharks in a confrontation, but Wendberg getting up a little slowly. Here's Ryan Donato in the slot shooting it. And that's a big stick save by Askarov. Rebound kept in. Another chance, Del Mastro feeds in front, and they score. Well, Ryan Green got behind the Sharks' defense, just like Crevier did. He put his stick down. The play was flying to the right side, and he tips it by Askarov. The Hawks lead 3-2.
Yeah, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. This one is a kick in the gut because we should know by now, to be honest with you. We should know by now. We've talked about enough of the momentum shifts in games and when to simplify it and when to be a mature team and understand that really we've controlled most of the game the first two periods. Let's go, put zeros in the third and we win a hockey game. And, you know, until we do that, we won't make another step.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? We are down to one game in the 2025-2026 season for the San Jose Sharks. As they come off of Chicago, a 5-2 loss for San Jose, I think the writing was very much on the wall that once they lost control of that game, once momentum went the opposite direction in favor of Chicago, that San Jose just did not have nearly enough pushback. And that's to be relatively understood because it is the end of the year. The guys have been through a lot. And at this point, there isn't a whole lot to play for. And if we are being honest, if the San Jose Sharks lose this last game, it has the chance or the potential to help them get a better draft pick. And not that I don't want San Jose to win as many games as possible. Not that I don't want San Jose to have as many steps forward as is possible. They get to that point by continuing to stack up better draft picks, by continuing to stack up their best players. So for me, it's kind of like, okay, they lost, but they're already eliminated. It's not irrelevant in the sense that you would have liked them to have some more pushback in that game, but you're going against a team's home finale. You're going against a team that is, still trying to prove something against San Jose in that last game. They didn't take the big step forward that San Jose did this year. So for Chicago, I think there was that much more to play for when you're ending the year on the road and you've already been eliminated from playoff contention. I can understand why the pushback might not be there, why the energy, the spark, the drive, whatever term you want to use, why it's not there to that point. But that doesn't mean we ignore some of the things that went wrong in this game. And I immediately look to puck management. And if you turn the puck over, if you don't, take care of it, if you make bad passes, if you're sloppy, you will continue to see the puck go the opposite direction for San Jose. And then they give up goals and then they end up finding themselves on the wrong side of five unanswered goals. And I think that's San Jose's lesson to learn, coming out of this year, is how important it is to take care of the puck, because the talent with San Jose is there. We saw Michael Mesa last night. We saw some nice plays that Igor Chernyshov made. We saw Macklin Celebrini make some nice attempts. Will Smith, go on and on with the young talent and even the established guys, Tyler Toffoli, Alex Wendberg, Kiefer Sherwood. However you want to write it up, the Sharks' talent is there. At this point, the true aspects of it, beyond just the individual young players getting better and turning into more of their fulfilled selves, it's the idea of the discipline being there, of the structure, of the attention to detail. Those little quote-unquote professional things are what separate the Sharks from being a team on the outside looking in to a team like Dallas, a team like Anaheim, however you want to, write it all up. But these professional, more experienced, more detail-oriented teams were able to come up with more of the big plays or more of the smart plays simply because they weren't constantly shooting themselves in the foot the same way that San Jose did all year long, and especially in some of the more critical stretches of the season. That was what we saw, with San Jose being their own worst enemy. And we can apply that more greatly to a lot of bad teams in a lot of bad sports, or not even bad teams, but just teams that don't make the playoffs. Why do they not make the playoffs? It's because they make mistakes. It's because they shoot themselves in the foot and they make their own, you know, bed by making the mistakes, and then they've got to go lay in it. And I'm not upset about that in that sense for San Jose, because I think that getting to the playoffs this year was going to be a stretch, and you need these young players to learn the lessons of the NHL. But I do think that needs to be a priority going forward for next year, is taking care of the puck and not being your own worst enemy. A lot of that is why San Jose is on the outside looking in. It's not the only reason, but it's a consistent factor. And when things happen from one game to the next, when things happen that consistently, you've got to be honest about what's going on. And so that's got to be a priority for Ryan Warsawski and Mike Greer when they're having these exit interviews with all these players in the next couple of days, to tell them, listen, you know, we love your game. You need to clean it up. And no one's, you know, absolved here. I don't want anyone to think that it's everybody but Macklin Celebrini or something to that effect, or everybody but Alex Wenberg. No, it's everybody. Everybody is guilty of turning the puck over. Everyone's guilty of making bad passes. Everybody's guilty of trying to make the home run pass. Everybody's guilty of being too cute with the puck and not taking shots, not pinning it in. Those are the things that a professional team will do in the NHL, and San Jose needs to learn those lessons. Now, beyond that, we look at last night's game and we see a Luca Cagnoni where he gets beat off the wall by Bertuzzi when he's trying to trap him there, and it's like he got brushed aside because he isn't a big guy. You know, those are the things that Luca Cagnoni is going to have held against him, because he doesn't have the size, or he's not strong enough yet to hold a guy there, you know, not getting a penalty, but be able to, you know, make that defensive play and have a guy pinned against the wall for a moment. He needs to get stronger if he's going to be an NHL player. Yaroslav Askarov out of last night's game, you know, there are some stops that he needs to make. Granted, the defense was not great in front of him, but, you know, for Yaroslav Askarov, it's about making the big stop in the big moment. That's, you know, part of his biggest issue right now, is that sometimes he'll make some crazy saves, but when there's a more critical moment later in the game, he doesn't come up with that stop. Those are the things that he needs to figure out. You know, Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, sometimes they get too cute with the puck and they're trying to feed each other too often, as opposed to just being lethal and going on net. Don't give up looks. You're not good enough to try and think, well, maybe we can create a better chance here. I'm sorry, even if it's worked sometimes, the majority of the time, if you're giving up a decent look for what you perceive as a better look, I don't like that when you're on the outside looking in. If you're Colorado, if you're Dallas, if you're Buffalo, if you're Tampa, that's a different story. If you're one of the top tier upper echelon teams in the NHL, you have the ability to look away from a great opportunity because you think you have something better. I'll allow it. If you've got breathing room in the standings, I'll allow it. But where San Jose is right now, they don't have that luxury. And I am a stickler about this because it's one of the best lessons I've ever learned. But in sports where there is a goalie, you need to ask questions of the goalie and that defense. You need to put the puck into chaos. You need to hope for caroms. You need to hope for bounces. The two goals that the San Jose Sharks scored last night, those were by way of bounces, of putting the puck in front of the net and, you know, seeing what happens. They weren't great, amazing looks, but if you put the puck into the mixer that way, you know, sometimes it might get squirted out in a beneficial way, or a way that's in favor of your team, and that's exactly what happened. Now, that doesn't mean to just be careless every single time and throw it in front and see what happens, but when momentum is waning in a game, when you can feel the ice tilting the opposite direction and you are not able to really have that same reaction in the moment to be able to tilt the ice back, then you have to make something happen. You have to be overly aggressive with your shots. You have to put the puck in dangerous areas and see what happens. And San Jose was not capable of doing that last night. And when you combine that with, you know, some players like Luca Cagnoni getting some time, when you combine that with Yaroslav Askarov not having his best night, when you have, passes that are being a little bit overly cute, or maybe sometimes trying to do too much as opposed to simplifying your game, it all snowballs into a game we've seen before with San Jose. And I think that's one of the more frustrating aspects out of last night's game. And you'll hear from it in a bit from Ryan Warsawski talking about the game last night. But, you know, these are consistent problems that we see with San Jose. And I'm not here to crucify them for that, but we know what a San Jose Sharks loss looks like. We know that it's turning the puck over. We know that it's guys stopping moving their feet on defense and not boxing out and being just a little bit late, or watching the puck or chasing the puck as opposed to, you know, dictating the terms of the ice and holding up the structure. We know that it's, you know, the goalie making the not huge stop. We know that it's getting too cute on offense. These are all things that we have seen all season long. And if we're looking to point to a reason why the San Jose Sharks are not in the playoffs, that's it. I wish it was more complicated than that. And we can obviously qualify it by saying the greater stories of San Jose not having the experience, which is totally valid. San Jose having all these young players who are still developing, again, totally valid. But San Jose still had shots and opportunities to win more games than they did this year. And they, you know, didn't do what they needed to do. And that's not to say that we shouldn't take a look at what they did this year as being, you know, just a great step forward for this team. But I think we do have to overall acknowledge that they were at times, and even now in, you know, game 81, their own worst enemy. You know, that's what they have to go through. And I think that's the ultimate hope here, is that these lessons will be learned with a sense of finality as they miss out this year on what they felt was a decent opportunity. Because I think they probably felt, you know what, if we had done these things, if we had learned these lessons, if we had applied the learning from these lessons to these games, we might be in the playoffs right now, as opposed to the outside looking in. Now, the San Jose Sharks have a chance to win 39 games when all is said and done. That is a, you know, doubling of the games that they won a year ago. That's a huge opportunity for San Jose. I don't have any specific qualms with the way that this went down. I don't have any big problems with the way that this season worked out. I'm just saying, if you're looking to max out an opportunity, we saw San Jose making the same, you know, errors, committing the same sins over and over and over again. And we all have been able to identify it with such consistency that we know what a Sharks win looks like, and we know what a Sharks loss looks like. And that's got to be the main point of rectification going into next year's training camp, is the way they manage the puck. And yes, you want your overall defensive structure to be better, because that will allow you to be better too. And you want your goalies to be better. You want everything to be quote unquote better. But if you are making fewer mistakes, if you are putting yourself in a bad situation with less frequency, guess what? Your defense gets better. Your defensive structure gets better. Your goalies get better. The outcomes become better. And this is not very complicated, and I'm not trying to make it sound like it's the most simple thing in the world, but again, we know the consistent problems for the Sharks in these games where they lose. Now, one of the things that was a little bit different last night was they jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and they were not able to hold on. And, you know, last night was the first time all year that they took a lead into the third period and didn't walk away with any points at the very least. It was the first time they took a lead into the third period and lost all year long. To that, I put the blame on the fact that they were tired. It's the end of the year. There was more in the game to play for Chicago and their home finale. You can start looking at things that are a little bit more qualifying for them and why they had maybe a little bit more pushback than San Jose had. But if we're looking overall, you know, at San Jose, that was a rare occurrence this year. And that's great. That's a huge growth moment for the team overall. But we don't view games in the sense of a season. Whatever a team did in the games before, it doesn't apply to what happened in that specific game. In the overview, it gives us a sense of trends, strengths, and weaknesses, but the game is not played on trends, strengths, and weaknesses. It's played on individual moments in individual games. And for San Jose, this is something they need to work on, that everybody needs to get through their heads, that everybody needs to have that much of a maturation process if the Sharks want to take a big step forward next year, of which I think they will, but I think we know what a lot of that step forward looks like. Let's get into some of these highlights from last night's game. It was Mario Ferraro putting the Sharks on the board first. He takes a shot, gets into chaos, bounces around, goes in. San Jose looking at a 1-0 lead.
Blackhawks have a 3-on-2 developing. Down the left, Nazar across the line. Whips it rink-wide looking for Bedard, but the pass behind him, and the Sharks have a 3-on-2 the other way. Down the left wing side now, Sherwood across the line. Rink-wide, Ferraro the drive, save, score! Mario Ferraro just tossed it to the net, and it gets deflected home, and the San Jose Sharks lead it 1-0.
Mario Ferraro's fight all the way to the end of the year is something that I am not going to forget. I love how that guy plays the game. I appreciate his effort. At this point, I don't know what his future is, whether or not it's in San Jose, and we will have to find out when we look into the crystal ball of the offseason. But, you know, Mario Ferraro continued to push, continued to try and make opportunities for the San Jose team all the way to the very finish. And again, he puts that puck into chaos. It bounces around. Something good comes out of it. And the San Jose Sharks are walking on a 1-0 lead in Chicago. And then it was Michael Mesa on the power play, once again, putting the puck into chaos. and something good happened.
A little drop pass, Chernyshov to Misa. Speeds down the right for Chernyshov, who races into the zone. Backhands around the boards. Fed across the ice by Sherwood to Orlov. Feeds it down low. Misa's got it. Puts it off the defense. Score! Michael Misa, on the left circle, was dropping it toward the slot, put it off the defense, and it snuck through Spencer Knight. That's a power play goal, and the San Jose Sharks are on top, 2-0.
The idea of how good Michael Misa got from the first part of his season to the later stages and what I think he's going to turn into next year is a scary prospect for the rest of the NHL. Again, if you look at the strength down the spine of San Jose, Macklin Celebrini, Michael Misa, Alex Wenberg, Zach Ostapchuk, these are players who are difference makers. And Michael Misa, the way he stepped up this year in the later stages again, the way he turned into more of a dangerous player, the way he played with more confidence, with more overall conviction, that is going to be exponentially better next year. That is the big part of it that I am so excited for to see from Misa, because I think we only got a taste, really, of what he's capable of, and that's because this year should not be compared the same way to what Macklin and Will did a year ago. Michael Misa didn't start out the season, you know, until a few games in. He had the World Juniors. There was an Olympic break. It was just a different season. It was one of the more odd and interesting seasons of the NHL overall, with the big break in the middle and all the discussion going around the Olympics and, you know, so many races going so late. But that's all part of the fun, is now we get to look forward to what Michael Misa can do in a big step forward in year number two. But after this, it was all Chicago as they just kept on coming at San Jose. And it started with that late second period goal that suddenly breathed a bit too much life into the United Center.
Back to even strength for the Sharks for the final 30 seconds of the second. And here come the Hawks moving in. Donato bodied off the play there. Moves off and they score! Well, kind of a broken play. Sam Renzel trailing the play after Donato lost it, knocked it off of Askarov and into the net. And I'm wondering if there's going to be any kind of a discussion about this goal. I don't think so, because there was some contact, but I think it happened maybe after the puck went in, with Ryan Donato bodied up there by Orlov moving toward the front of the net just as Renzel shot the puck. Doesn't look like goaltender interference to me.
So that makes it a 2-1 game. Then we go to the 3:51 mark of the third. Crevier makes it 2-2.
The Sharks break out. Smith gets the head man on the left wing side. He moves into the zone. He slides to the right. There's Celebrini. Fans on the one-timer. It comes across the ice. Can Smith get there? No. The Blackhawks block it. And here's Bedard moving to center. Down the left side for Chicago. Into the zone. Centering play. Score! Louis Crevier on defense was racing down the right wing while the entire Sharks team seems to be mesmerized by Connor Bedard. A perfect backhand pass went right through the legs of the Sharks defense, and Crevier, getting underneath, tips that one home to tie it 2-2.
Momentum had completely shifted at this point, and then just about 5 minutes later, Ryan Green with his 12th of the year to make it 3-2 Chicago, a lead with which they would not look back from.
Down went one of the Sharks in a confrontation. Gaudette Wenberg getting up a little slowly. Here's Ryan Donato in the slot shooting it. And that's a big stick save by Askarov. Rebound kept in. Another chance, Del Mastro feeds in front, and they score! Well, Ryan Green got behind the Sharks' defense, just like Crevier did. He put his stick down. The play was flung to the right side, and he tips it by Askarov. The Hawks lead 3-2.
And from there on, Chicago would add a couple more, and they would go on to win by a final of 5-2. Let's hear from post-game reaction now, head coach Ryan Warsofsky.
The goal right before the period, where it all started.
You know, you talk a lot this year about sort of reading the momentum and, you know, when you should do something, when you shouldn't. Obviously, that goal at the end, that obviously is a momentum change, but also too their second goal, right? And that's, you know, comes off kind of free-willing play by your top line, and then they take advantage of it. And you know, maybe that wasn't the time for that kind of play.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's a nothing rush. It's a 2-on-2, and Dickey loses them on the backside. So that's something the young man needs to get better at.
And, you know, on the balance of a game like this, just kind of shows kind of the highs of what this team can achieve, especially, you know, that forecheck that was controlling things early in the game. But like you said, that just the mental slips or whatever that happened in the second half.
Just wanted to get cute and try to make it easy. And this game's not easy. It's hard. You got to do it, shift in and shift out. And we got away from it in the third period, obviously.
It's a lesson that any team in this league can, you know, bite you.
Yeah, I think when you give team momentum, you know, hand team momentum with puck play, with soft goals, with loose coverage, anyone can win.
And big picture, this is really a game that, like, if you look at the entire season, that you guys really can learn from, even just this specific game, right?
Yeah, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. This one is a kick in the gut because we should know by now, to be honest with you. We should know by now. We've talked about enough of the momentum shifts in games and when to simplify it and when to be a mature team and understand that really we've controlled most of the game the first two periods. Let's go, you know, put zeros in the third and we win a hockey game. And, you know, until we do that, we won't make another step.
How hard is that to learn, I guess, as a team, I guess, in the big picture?
Yeah, we're going to keep working on it. Yeah, it will be a big message going into next year.
What did you think about Luka's performance?
Yeah, I did some good things again. Some things we'll have to, obviously the one goal, he kind of gets turned in the corner. So those are the areas he needs to get better at.
On the positive side, though, offensively, it looked like that first period, that first half of the game was maybe the most comfortable offensively he's looked in this league.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that.
Warsawski, to me, sounded just a little bit miffed at the fact that he's still seeing so many of the same issues with his team. That said, this is a young team. This is an inexperienced team. It's a tired team at the end of the year. Let's hear from Michael Misa.
What's kind of the lesson to pull from this game?
I think probably not let off the gas. I mean, I thought we played well our first two periods, but, let off the gas, and they came out ready to play in the third period, and, yeah, we didn't.
And your goal, just like the other one, they're not always pretty, but those kind of goals you have to score in this league to keep working, and, you know, maybe you get a bounce.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, kind of waiting for it, and finally, you know, kind of went in there for me, and
Warsaw talks a lot about just the, you know, reading momentum, and, you know, sometimes there's times to be direct, sometimes there's times when you could kind of be cute and things like that, and obviously that's something that you guys are still working on learning. So what's kind of the, you know, when a game is going on fast as it is, what's the struggle in kind of applying that at the time, you know, during the game?
Yeah, no, he's definitely right about that. I mean, we definitely, you know, got to find times when they have the momentum and, you know, kind of make sure we're playing well defensively. And then, you know, when we have the momentum, we got to be on the attack. And, you know, I thought we were for, you know, majority of that game, but ultimately came up short.
Is it easy to get caught up in, let's say, a little run and gun if the other team's doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone, you know, wants to play offense. And, for us, we just got to make sure we're being reliable defensively so we can lead to that offense because, you know, when we're in the offensive zone, usually good stuff's happening. So
I know you've got one more game to play, but what's the long view here? I know you're disappointed in not making it, but there was a lot of progress made here with the Sharks.
Yeah, it was definitely tough to kind of not make the playoffs there. You know, with the group we had, I thought, you know, we could definitely make it in there. But, you know, now that we didn't, we just, you know, try to focus on these last two games. And, we got one more left, so try to win it.
I think it's important for these young guys to realize how close they came to the playoffs. And you want that sting to extend into the postseason, to the offseason, rather, to where they are thinking about it, to where it motivates them going into camp next year. Let's hear it from Luca Cagnoni.
I guess just like a little loose at the net front. A lot of like high scoring chances there in the slot that you can give up and a couple are going to go in.
Luca, first half of the game though, a lot seemed to be going right for you guys. So, you know, what was going right early in the game for you guys?
I feel like our forecheck was good. I feel like we were kind of all over them, and then we're just playing the right way, putting pucks behind them, making their D go get it. So I thought we played a hard, kind of hard nose. And then, we got some good looks, especially in the first, I would say even to the first two periods, just got a lot of good looks, so yeah.
I know you have one more game to play. How do you take the long view of this season with the strides that were made, even though you didn't make the playoffs, but the strides that were made?
Obviously I wasn't with them the whole year, but it was fun watching them. I mean, a lot of talented players, young talented. There's obviously a future here. And, getting that close to, I guess, like, what, 40 wins almost? Like, that's something to take away for sure.
It's one of those games where it feels like maybe, you know, you mentioned the forecheck had so much kind of energy to begin with, but you guys just, you know, couldn't get that, you know, that second goal, that third goal. Obviously, you had one waved off there, too, and just that helped the Blackhawks kind of creep back into the game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess, you know, when penalties happen, you can get one back, and they reviewed that one, it was offside, and they got energy from it. That's kind of how it goes. They're in their own building, too, so that helps them, but I guess kind of unfortunate because, you know, I think we get that one, we're kind of rolling again, so, yeah.
And then just as a young team, too, that sometimes that momentum really matters. To kind of take that momentum or you lose it, right, just based on, you know, little plays here and there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, momentum can switch so quick. Definitely something that you learn, so especially when you're in your home building, so, yeah.
I want to ask, too, it seemed like in that, you know, first half of the game, especially for yourself, that looked like some of the most comfortable that you've been offensively in NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do what I've been doing down in the A all year, just trying to produce and, you know, set up guys or give myself a look. Thought I kind of opened, I found some open ice out there today.
And just defensively, finally, I think it was the goal from the blue line, I think it was Crevier, but you have Bertuzzi in the corner there. Just how do you have to defend that, you know, better in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the puck out there, just had reaching for it. And then, you know, you obviously try to go pin them, and then they're slippery up here in the NHL, right? It's a little different. So just trying to get used to that. I mean, something, I feel like that's not something that's too hard to fix. Just kind of have to bear down a little bit.
I think it's important for Luca Cagnoni to have these difficult moments in meaningless games. He's got to learn how to play along the wall. He's got to learn how to play against NHL quality talent. We're also going to continue this talk about defensemen, finishing up the interview I did yesterday with Jamal Mayers. I asked him about a Shakir Mukhmudulin and what he needs to work on going into the offseason.
Honestly, like the way he played last game in Nashville, to me, that's the best game I've seen him play. I think he should take that video and watch his shifts.
Really?
and replicate that. I think that he defended well. He trusted his instincts defensively. He skated with the puck. He moved the puck quick. He didn't try to do too much. And I think I also said on the air, I think that the fact that the coaches chose to switch up the pairings was a good decision because it mm-hmm. got them to communicate better, in my opinion, when you're not familiar with your partner. And it simplified each of their games respectively because they weren't so aware of what the tendencies were of their partner. And I think that really helped their game.
No, it was interesting to watch and just seeing, you know, how changes people, I feel, overreact about coaches making line changes or defensive pairing changes, but it's like they're not in the playoffs, so they're vying for it. It's like this is when you have to experiment and figure things out. And they obviously came out with the commensurate effort needed to beat Nashville, but I don't have that big of a problem with Ryan Warsowski still learning about what his team is and maybe who gels with who best.
Yeah, I think the definition of, you know, what do they say? You continue to do the same things and expect a different result. Like, I like it when coaches are working and trying different things. And, you know, I think sometimes you can get out of hand when you're switching lines and switching pairings.
Yeah.
But I think the players notice that they're still being coached. I think the player that emotes the importance as you head down the stretch of what could be perceived as not important games. And the players feel off of that. So I think Ryan and his staff have done a tremendous job in getting these guys prepared and keeping them engaged.
What about Ryan Warsowski facing expectations for the first time next year?
I think he's been a tremendous coach. Enjoyed conversations with him and tactical conversations with him, motivation type conversations that we've had. I think he is a rare commodity, a rare coach in the respect of, he has the analytical mind, the in-game adjustment mind to give you the right approach, game plan. But I also think he's has a very strong opinion of how he wants his team and group to play. And I think that he is very good at keeping them accountable to that and not softening on that. I think he's done a great job. I think he's a great coach. And you know, I think that you know, Sharks are lucky to have him. I think that he's going to handle that pressure. He puts, probably just knowing him a little bit, probably puts more pressure on himself for next year than any of us could put on him. So he's won at every level. And I think that he's going to continue to push this group forward and for next year to make the playoffs.
To hear more of that conversation, check out yesterday's edition of the Build Up Game 81 versus Chicago. Jamal Mayer is a great addition to the San Jose Sharks audio network and the TV side of things over the last couple of years. We're all out of time. I will see you later today as we get ready for the final game of the year at Winnipeg. 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks audio network. One last ride. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.